Generation Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. After all the rosy prognoses, today wasn't so much fun for Harry Whittington, erstwhile vice presidential hunting partner.
Some of the birdshot appears to have moved and lodged into a park
where you ski the downhill once, then take two runs on the slalom course. Bodie Miller was where is in second place after the short program. Live at the Winter Olympics in Torino, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Human smuggling is also a north border problem for the United States. CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano.
Officials in Canada and here in the U.S. say this is a human smuggling operation moving over 100 migrants from Asia and Eastern Europe across the border into the U.S. and Canada. They're accused of using a variety of methods, the trunks of cars, the backs of trucks, small boats, and railroad cars.
17 people have been arrested in Toronto and Windsor, Ontario, as well as in Detroit. House at an internet cafe. Nice warm germs by the handful there. Hand straps and handles on subways and buses come in third, and then the door to the restroom. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 136 points today to close at 11,028. The Nasdaq was up about 22 points. And oil prices, $59.57 a barrel, down $1.67. This is CBS News.
In the game of life, your credit score can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family is going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit score.
Wouldn't you like to know your credit score before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit score and credit report online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
We want a neighborhood with good schools.
Bob and I don't want to live around a bunch of noisy kids anymore.
I'm concerned if the area have a reliable doggy daycare for Mr. Darcy.
Find your perfect place. It's easy with RE/MAX. RE/MAX agents have the experience to make your dreams a reality. Visit RE/MAX.com today. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Wisteria Lane may be a pretty good place to find a desperate housewife or two, or three, but WCCO reporter Bruce Hagovic says not in one Minnesota town.
David and Jean Sacchetti proposed the name Wisteria Lane, as used in the television show Desperate Housewives. Jean says they came up with the idea after years of battling opposition to their residential development plan.
We've had 20 years of environmental restriction, city hall red tape, and neighborhood opposition to this development.
While the development is moving ahead, the name Wisteria Lane will not be part of it, but the Sacchettis say they might appeal. Bruce Hogovic, CBS News, Minneapolis.
If everyone paid their taxes, the government would bring in another $345 billion. And that was the 2001 number from the IRS. Most of the estimate is for underreporting of taxes owed. The IRS will collect about $55 billion of it, leaves a gap of $290 billion lost. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. When you were a kid, you loved the fun side of Welch's grape juice. You know, the big grape taste, the purple mustache? Well, it turns out there's a surprising side to Welch's, too, because studies have shown that Welch's 100% grape juice is actually good for your heart. Made from deep purple Concord grapes with no added sugar, Welch's is packed with natural antioxidants, twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
Join us Friday, March 3rd for Shabbat Across America, when Jewish singles, couples, and families gather to celebrate what unifies us all, the Shabbat, when laughter, song, and celebration turn an ordinary Friday night into an extraordinary one. For information, call 1-888-SHABBAT. That's 1-888-SHABBAT.
Shabbat Across America, one people, one family, one love.
Sponsored by the National Jewish Outreach Program. Visit njop.org.
Happy Valentine's Day from the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, decked out in a bright red shirt today. And that was me, 14th in line at lunchtime at See's Candy. I am a reluctant observer of this commercial holiday, but I do believe in love. And somehow I've found the connection between sugar and your sweetie. We've got a great show lined up for the next 3 hours. I hope you can listen to every minute. If not, just do your best. Between 3:30 and 4, we open up the phone lines to hear from you. We're going to talk about Richard Pombo, the Republican congressman from Tracy, Modesto, and parts of the Bay Area. I actually have something good to say about Richard Pombo for a change, but we'll balance that with a number of other factors. Trust me. Later on in the program, Melanie Sloan will be with us from Crew, and she's going to tell you about how we paid for a rental RV that Richard Pombo used to drive his family around last summer as he inspected our national parks. Next hour, we're going to meet a man, Herman Atkins, who spent years in jail here in California, convicted of a rape for which he was absolutely innocent. He got out of jail because of the Innocence Project, Barry Schecht and others. And he is one of the honorees, the ex-honorees, too, in a new film called After Innocence. We'll talk with Herman Atkins and the producer of that film, Jessica Sanders. We'll certainly talk about that this afternoon, too. Your calls are welcome at any moment, so pick up the phone when the urge strikes you. 831-899-5792 is our local number on the Central Coast. And you can call me toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. You prefer email? Drop me a note, peter@krxa540.com. And that's the website where we stream our program every day, so tell your friends from outside of our broadcast signal areas that they can log on to the oil industry at our expense. They want to give them a $5 to $7 billion break for drilling for oil and natural gas on federal lands. And then, of course, there's Richard Pombo.
Well, at least the first two are linked, or they could be.
Yes, indeed.
Let me tell you a little bit about this public lands scam.
Go right ahead.
Back in the early 1900s, the federal government said to counties, primarily in the West, look, you can't tax our federal lands. They're not subject to local property taxes. So we'll compensate you by giving you 25% of the money we make by selling the public's trees. And that was a pretty good deal for the counties. Mm-hmm. And it turned out during the boom years of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the counties were getting about 100 times more money from the federal government than they would have if these lands were private. Well, then the spotted owl came along, and national forest logging plummeted. Mm-hmm. And so the money the counties were getting, the 25% of the money the feds were getting for logging, also plummeted.
And, Andy, we can blame you for the spotted owl thing, right?
Oh, blame or credit, either way.
Well, Pombo blames you. I give you credit.
Okay. I'm ambidextrous when it comes to that.
Okay.
So about 6 years ago, Congress stepped in and said, okay, we aren't going to see logging return to its pre-existing levels anytime soon. let's just give these counties that had gotten rich and fat off of logging our federal lands, let's just give them a payout of tax dollars just from the Treasury. Just taxes from you and me and everybody else. We'll just give them to counties. And in fact, 55% of that money goes to a handful of counties in western Oregon, where logging was very, very high compared to elsewhere in the country. Well, that deal expires this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a temporary deal. And now the western Oregon counties are desperate to get back on the gravy train. And the Bush administration has come up with a way of killing two birds with one stone. The Bush administration has always wanted to sell federal land. It doesn't like public ownership of land.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's come up with a reason for doing it. Let's sell national forest land to pay off western Oregon counties. That's the scheme.
Couldn't we just give them a share of the Iraqi oil flow?
Well, if Iraq were actually pumping any oil, and of course this week, in fact today, it was announced that that the Bush administration will forgive and look the other way when it comes to $7 billion worth of royalties that oil and gas companies would normally pay for drilling on federal land, oil and gas that you and I own.
Right.
They won't pay for it.
And I was surprised to learn, deep in this New York Times article, that 25% roughly of all oil and gas produced in the U.S. comes from federal lands and federal waters in the Gulf of Mexico. That's a much higher proportion than I thought.
Well, that's right. And they're a little harder to get to. And it was thought 10 years ago that oil and gas companies needed an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
To go and explore in those areas. And so the federal government said, look, we'll forgive you your royalty payments if you go ahead and find oil and gas on these hard-to-reach areas. Well, of course, that was 10 years ago when the price of oil and gas was a pittance of what it is today.
And
now,
for example,
now they get a windfall profit.
Right, and the trigger point for oil was about $35 a barrel, and for natural gas about $4 per 1,000 cubic feet. Now, I'm not tight on what the current rate is for natural gas, but I know that a barrel of oil is worth more than, well, almost double the trigger point. It's up about $65 a barrel right now. So that of and in itself, in and of itself, however you want to parse that, is enough of an incentive, it would appear, for these companies to exploit the licenses that they have. So why do we have to pile on with this incentive, $5 a barrel right now? So that of and in itself, in and of itself, however you want to parse that, is enough of an incentive, it would appear, for these companies to exploit the licenses that they have. So why do we have to pile on with this incentive fee, this royalty relief?
That's right. It's crazy to, on the one hand, tell rural counties who have been getting this subsidy from the federal government, which will now be cut off or will sell public land to continue it, to tell them there just isn't enough money available. And on the other hand, tell the largest companies in the world, no, you can continue to have your $7 billion sweetheart deal and we won't charge you for our oil and gas. The fact of the matter, if the Bush administration actually wanted to help rural counties who had gotten rich off timber sales, then they could go to the oil companies and say, you pay them.
Mm-hmm. Gosh,
and they want you to pay for it.
Can't they grow switchgrass or, you know, something that could be turned into ethanol and they could get on the Archer Daniels Midland gravy train?
Well, western Oregon used to be one of the world's largest producers of hemp, industrial hemp.
Right.
And that was grown throughout the Willamette Valley.
And show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Coondale Lube and Auto Care would like to remind everyone, please give blood generously. By doing so, you may save the life of your child or an accident victim. You will also be protecting your family and yourself. Be a silent hero. Give the gift of life. Give the gift of blood. This message from Coondale Lube and Auto Care. Stop in at 8485 Coondale Road North. Everything from tires to transmissions to keeping your engine running smoothly. And for the fastest drive-through lube and oil and filter service, it's Coondale Lube and Auto Care.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
From the left coast, the Peter B. Collins Show rocks the nation. We're talking about misguided efforts by the Bush administration to give more money to the oil and natural gas industries so that they can remove, extract our resources from public lands. And we're talking about the efforts to sell off some of those public lands. Our guest is Andy Stahl, Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics, the executive director of that nonprofit. And if you want more information, there's a lengthy story that starts on page one and jumps into the business section of the New York Times today. And hopefully, Andy, you haven't read that, have you?
I have not read that yet.
Oh, good, because it makes this little quiz more fun. I'm going to read you two quotes, and you can guess which one came from George Miller and which one came from Richard Pombo.
Okay, I know both gentlemen. This will be fun.
Okay. I don't think there's a single member of Congress who thinks you should get royalty relief at $70 a barrel. It was Congress' intent that if oil was $10 a barrel, there should be royalty relief so companies could have some kind of incentive to invest capital. But at $70 a barrel, don't expect royalty relief. Pombo or Miller?
Well, I'm going to say Miller just because that's who I would expect.
Well, this is the shocker. That is attributed to Richard W. Pombo, the Republican chairman of the House Resources Committee.
And what does George say?
George Miller, who is a stalwart, and he's taller than me, smarter than me, he's been in Congress, well, I've never been there, so much longer than me. It's one of the greatest train robberies in the history of the world, Miller said. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
So it's pile on the oil industry.
Yeah.
Bipartisan.
Now, I want to say that this is the first time I have ever held a position that is in agreement with Richard Pombo, to my knowledge.
He's probably equally shocked.
Indeed. At the bottom line here, though, if Pombo has that position and Miller has this position, does the administration have a prayer of getting this through the Congress? Or is the law already set and it would require congressional action to change this royalty relief program?
It's the second. It's the latter.
Yeah.
Congress doesn't have to do anything, and the oil and gas industry gets this subsidy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. There's also a graph here that's easy to read. In fiscal 2006, the value of the oil pumped royalty-free under the terms we just described is $1.6 billion. The natural gas, almost $8 billion, $7.9 billion royalty-free. That is a gift of the kind that Tom DeLay would serve up to the oil industry, as he did in the energy bill that passed with a narrow margin last November. And in the conference committee, DeLay inserted an extra nearly $1 billion that will be spent entirely in his district or offshore there in the Gulf of Mexico. And a major beneficiary of this extra $1 billion is Halliburton.
Surprise, surprise.
Indeed. Let's take some calls. Alice is on the line from Humboldt, where the big trees are. Hello, Alice. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Andy Stahl.
Okay. It appears clear to most of us that this Bush crew is out to destroy the country in every way that they can think of.
Mm-hmm.
They only care about the very, very rich.
Well, you're right. And I refer to the various appointees at the regulatory and cabinet agencies in Washington, Alice, as the wrecking crew. And
that's
they're
right.
Doing a hell of a job, aren't they?
That's a good word right there, wrecking crew.
Well, they have dismantled 20, 30, in some cases 50 years of social progress in this country by changing policies, by changing practices. For example, you know, the Department of Labor, they used to send out memos to employers to safeguard the rights of workers. And now they send out memos to employers on how they can avoid paying overtime to their workers.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
Alice,
wrong. It's all wrong.
Go ahead, Andy.
One of those wrecking crews is an old colleague of mine. His name is Mark Ray, and he is the Undersecretary of Agriculture in charge of the U.S. Forest Service that manages our national forests. Now, Mark used to be the head lobbyist for the forest products industry in our country, and that's the perspective he brings to managing our public lands.
And he never runs out of toilet paper or paper towels.
No. Well, I'm glad.
Alice, thanks for the call. Fred in Salinas, you're up next on the PBC show. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
I was just going to say that I grew up in northern Oregon, up around Garibaldi, which is just west on the coast from Portland. And when I was going to school, We used to go up and plant trees up in what they called the Tillamook Burn. And, golly, when I went back up there, that place is already ready to be harvested. And that was the largest forest burn that they ever had up in that country.
You know, there's a fascinating story, Fred, about the Tillamook Burn, which is quite relevant today. The reason you were planting trees is because the natural regeneration that came in like gangbusters after the fire was all killed. It was all killed by salvage logging. Those little seedlings were all crushed. And as a result, people like you had to go in and plant seedlings. And I'm afraid I have to report to you today, Fred, that hundreds of thousands of acres that you helped plant are now dying from a fungus disease because many of the seedlings you planted weren't native to that area of the coast of Oregon. They were seedlings that were collected elsewhere, and they just haven't done well where they were planted. So they have what's called Swiss needle cast, and they're dying by the hundreds of thousands of acres. But I want to thank you for doing the planting. That was hard work.
And Fred, thanks for checking in. We just have a minute remaining, Andy Stahl. Tell us how listeners can speak up and who you think some of the legislators are that we could put some pressure on. First, on the sale of these lands, mostly to continue the subsidy of more than 55% of the money to those counties in western Oregon. Who should we talk to and what should we say?
You should talk to your member of the U.S. House of Representatives, your congressperson. The bill that this would have to, that this would be attached to originates in the House of Representatives. And really, the only person who cares what you think is a person you can vote for. And that would be your congressperson, your congressman or congresswoman.
On the royalties issue, we need to move for new legislation. Is that correct?
That's right. And there, not to be partisan about it, but the fact of the matter is, in a House and Senate controlled by Republicans, the chance of new legislation is zero.
Very good, Andy.
So
we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Andy Stahl, Executive Director of Forest Service Employees for Environment. Very good, Andy.
So
we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Andy Stahl, Executive Director of Forest Service Employees for Environmental Ethics. We'll talk again. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Your call's coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes.
Talk again. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Your call is coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-373-2000.
Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents.
In youth culture, the McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
We open up the phone lines this half hour to hear from you on issues in the news. You want to talk about Dick Cheney's hunting accident over the weekend? The shotgun blast heard round the world?
Pure energy.
Well, and Mr. Whittington, Harry Whittington, had a heart attack this morning after a piece of birdshot moved through his bloodstream into his heart. And if you go to commondreams.org, Molly Ivins, part of the Texas Axis of Weevils, yeah, a liberal in Austin, she writes a great story about how Whittington is an endangered species. He is a relatively liberal Republican in the great state of Texas. And so her story, I got to scroll up here, is headlined, Cheney Shoots a Texas Liberal. Now, we're having a lot of fun with this story. If you watched The Daily Show last night, or Leno, or Letterman, I fell asleep during a barrage of jokes from Letterman about Cheney's hunting episode. And behind it all, though, we have a very strange sequence of events, the way the White House sat on the story, And now, you know, more details are coming out. For example, this heart attack, there was a delayed reporting of it. And we really wonder why they have so much to hide, because if it's just an accident and, you know, it's all as plain as daylight, why is it that the Secret Service detail cooperated with the vice president and nobody reported or leaked this incident until the Armstrong family called the Corpus Christi paper on Sunday morning at 8 a.m.? And there are many other unanswered questions, too. We'll air those out as we take your calls this half hour. I've got lines open for you at 831-899-5792. That's the Central Coast local call line. You can call me toll-free from everywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. By the way, it's Valentine's Day. If you want to slip in a little love message, we won't charge you for it. One other thing that really disturbs me today, and I heard the end of the Ed Schultz show earlier. He got a lot of calls from Ohio after he interviewed Paul Hackett. Hackett from Cincinnati, my hometown, is an Iraqi war veteran. And he has ruffled feathers because he's a kind of rough and tough guy. Not the most liberal fellow on social issues, but a real stalwart in opposing the continuation of the occupation of Iraq and opposing the Bush administration for the lies they've told us that led us to that quagmire. And he ran for Congress, narrowly lost in an open seat when Rob Portman accepted an appointment from the president and vacated his congressional seat. And after that, he decided he was going to run against Mike DeWine, the Republican incumbent senator in Ohio. And today he announced he's pulling out. Why? Well, there are practical considerations. The Democratic Party leadership is not backing Paul Hackett. They're backing Sherrod Brown, who is a very decent member of Congress, a man I have no ill will toward. I've spoken with him many times, and I think he's a bright fellow, and I wouldn't mind having him in the Senate. But I am tired of Democratic leaders interfering in this manner. Accepted an appointment from the president and vacated his congressional seat. And after that, he decided he was going to run against Mike DeWine, the Republican incumbent senator in Ohio. And today he announced he's pulling out. Why? Well, there are practical considerations. The Democratic Party leadership is not backing Paul Hackett. They're backing Sherrod Brown, who is a very decent member of Congress, a man I have no ill will toward. I've spoken with him many times, and I think he's a bright fellow, and I wouldn't mind having him in the Senate. But I am tired of Democratic leaders interfering. Decent member of Congress, a man I have no ill will toward. I've spoken with him many times, and I think he's a bright fellow, and I wouldn't mind having him in the Senate. But I am tired of Democratic leaders interfering in this manner. Let democracy work. Let the system operate as it's intended. We can't even be sure that votes will be properly counted in Ohio. So why should we make it a free ride for Sherrod Brown? Let him earn the nomination. And he might well have done that in a competitive race with Hackett. I don't know. But Hackett, let him earn the nomination. And he might well have done that in a competitive race with Hackett. I don't know. But Hackett got the message from party leaders, who made sure he didn't get endorsements, and most importantly, he didn't get campaign cash. Sherrod Brown has $2.37 million in his account. Hackett has a couple of hundred thousand. Is it all about...
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Now, with Mr. Whittington suffering a medical setback, some of the birdshot apparently moved through his bloodstream and into his heart.
I think it just penetrates the Cheney shooting.
Well, it was a Saturday night massacre.
Saturday Night Massacre, maybe Saturday Night Special. I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Richard. He's out of here. All right, we'll go to the phones, take more of your calls here in just a moment. Over the long haul, and the capacity to take its full representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs.
Over the long haul, and the capacity to take its full representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRX.
Humboldt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air. Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Well, who's this? You're not Dave.
No, I'm Jay from Monterey. I'm surprised.
All right, Jay. You're up now, and we'll get Dave next. Go right ahead.
Okay. So a quick practical comment on Hackett. I was listening to the interview with him on
55%. So it's an uphill struggle for any Democrat. But I also think Paul Hackett is fed up with the Democratic Party structure.
Well, I was basically a Nader voter, and the Democratic Party is really, to my eyes, not a whole lot better than the Republicans when it comes to the fundamental people and say, will you let me off my word? It's going to take somebody else, you or Ed Schultz or somebody, mm-hmm. calling these other three guys and saying, like, will you let him off his word? And because he sounded like a real upfront guy. He's not going to call him and say, can I go back on my word?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. Well, I'll tell you what, Jay. I'm going to call my mom in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I'll ask her who these other three people are and if she knows any of them. I believe one of the candidates is a city council member mm-hmm. who went to the same high school that I went to.
Okay.
So I'll work my connections there in the Queen City and see if I can do your bidding.
Well, it'll make a great show for you if you get it done.
All right.
So
thanks
thank
for
you.
The idea. BS, never getting down to the nitty-gritty.
No.
Of why we were totally flummoxed on 9/11 and why nobody's been held responsible. And to our knowledge, no significant systems changes have occurred to prevent that kind of a debacle in the future.
It is frightful to me that we can put together committees like that made up of Democrats and Republicans that know that that is their purpose, to cover up and not arrive at any truth. And that's ridiculous. You'd also offered a comment earlier. We can't even be sure that we're going to have an honest election in Ohio.
Have less incentive to interfere, manipulate the votes. But then, of course, they would want to pick the lesser of the candidates. And, yeah, it's hard to get an honest election in Ohio.
They somehow should be putting a hammer lock until they do make those voting machines verifiable. Somebody should be humiliating them.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
Love your program, Peter.
Carol Blue Lake, you're next. Hi, Carol. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi, Peter. Let me turn. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I really love listening to your show. I'm just a recent listener, and I wanted to comment on Paul Hackett.
Great.
I think a lot of people in the United States are progressives and are certainly much more progressive than the Democrats that are currently in office.
And let them run. Let them run in the primary.
Right.
That's the purpose of a primary. We
right.
don't need kingmakers. We don't need backroom deals, even if the backrooms are no longer smoke-filled. We need sunshine, and we need the public
right.
to be empowered to make these decisions.
Right.
And if Ohioans prefer Sherrod Brown to Paul Hackett, we can find that out soon enough. But we don't need party leaders interfering, particularly at this stage.
So how could we stop that?
I think it's too late. I think Hackett's made up his mind, and he doesn't seem to be the kind of person who
Even in the future. I wanted to call the party leadership and tell them how upset I was about that whole thing and how I'm not going to vote Democrat. I'm not voting Democrat unless they get somebody in who's anti-war,
mm-hmm.
pro-peace, and for social programs that work for the citizens of this country. I'm not going to vote for any Democrats that don't do that.
Harry Reid and Charles Schumer
okay.
are the people who made this happen. And
all right.
they're the people who need to hear from you. Thanks, Carol. Stephen Salinas, we've got a minute. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure it's such a bad thing that Paul Hackett's dropping out. You know, I'm sure I would support him. But one thing I have to admire about the Republicans is their tenacity. And he doesn't seem to have any. I think he'd do a fine job, but he's not really willing to do what he has to do to get the job. And need somebody who's really going to fight and fight and fight. And he didn't seem to have that.
Well, I understand your point. I think he feels he has fought and that he was up against a brick wall.
But he's giving up.
When his own party tried to persuade him not to run, I think that really was very discouraging. But I take your point, Steve. I would love to see Paul Hackett stand and fight, and maybe in the next 48 hours people can turn him around and get him to file for that seat. Thanks for your call today. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dick Cheney's wounded hunting companion takes a turn for the worse.
Some of the birdshot appears to have moved and lodged into a part of his heart, causing a minor heart attack.
A promising new medical study.
Could it be the first big fat-fighting drug?
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. 78-year-old Harry Whittington didn't know it, but when doctors at Spahn Hospital in Corpus Christi ran some tests this morning, they discovered he was having a mild heart attack, atrial fibrillation, caused by birdshot that lodged in his heart. Hospital Administrator Peter Banco says they treated him with a cardiac catheter, and Whittington should be fine in time.
We'll require that we monitor Mr. Whittington for up to another 7 days in the hospital to make sure no more birdshot moves into vital organs, as well as that piece of birdshot doesn't move anywhere else in the heart.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. Vice President Cheney has still not said a public word about the shooting incident or how it was disclosed. And the White House is growing weary of discussing it. Spokesman Scott McClellan served notice on reporters.
We've got important work to do for the American people, and that's where we're going to keep our focus. You're welcome to continue to focus on these issues. I'm moving on.
At the same time, the VP's office wanted it known that Cheney called his shooting victim today to offer any assistance he needed.
Early today, before he knew about Whittington's heart attack, Scott McClellan announced that the NCAA football champion Texas Longhorns would be visiting the White House, and joked that the fact that they wear orange, their team color, is not because they're concerned the vice president will be there. He wasn't. Now this.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you could do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life. Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you could do for your heart.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Obesity drug shows promising results.
Rimonabant reduced weight and improved cholesterol levels in a 2-year study appearing in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Two doses were tested. Nearly half the patients on the higher dose dropped their weight 5% or more.
I think the main promise is helping maintain weight loss.
But Dr. Denise Simons-Morton of the National Institutes of Health considers lifestyle changes a far more effective strategy for the 2/3 of American adults who are overweight or obese.
I don't think there is a miracle pill, a magic pill to solve these kinds of complex problems, and I don't think there ever will be.
Barry Bagnall.
I never would have expected or believed that I could commit this crime.
The jury that convicted Smith recommended the death penalty. The judge, who will make the final decision next month, could opt for life in prison without parole. A jury in Alexandria, Virginia, will decide whether 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui gets life in prison or death, but jury selection will go on without him. He's been barred from the courtroom after another outburst today. Charges of child endangerment and other crimes have been filed against the Ohio couple who kept some of their adopted special needs children in cages. Michael and Sharon Gravel say the enclosures were needed to protect the kids from themselves and from each other. They've been fighting recently to regain custody of the kids. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Jane is 50 years old, just took up golf. She's got great form. Takes her 6-iron.
Oh, Leonard, stop using that voice.
Sorry.
Centrum Silver multivitamins keep up with your game. Centrum Silver's age-adjusted formula includes high levels of B vitamins, which emerging science suggests may help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease.
She sunk the putt. The crowd goes wild.
What crowd?
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age. Take with low saturated fat, low cholesterol diet. Research is ongoing and inconclusive, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro?
Really?
Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, up and down the left coast. We're live on KRXA 540, serving Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. A shout-out to the boys at Soledad this afternoon. And we're also live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And a shout-out there to the boys at Pelican Bay. When I was a teenager, one of my brothers was falsely accused of a juvenile crime. He was innocent, but the system did not protect him. And he was ultimately convicted and sentenced to a house arrest, and while the consequences were not so severe, it changed his life for good. And it made such an impression on me that the criminal justice system in this country that I believed was fair and that provided people with an opportunity to present their cases and be construed as innocent until proven guilty, that it changed my views forever. And I have devoted a fair amount of time to trying to help people who are convicted of a crime, who are serving time for that crime, and who are innocent of the very charges they're serving time for. And I'm very pleased to spend this hour talking about a powerful new film called After Innocence. We're joined by the producer-director, Jessica Sanders, and by one of the exonerees, whom we'll introduce here in just a moment. Jessica Sanders, thanks for joining us today, and most importantly, thank you for After Innocence.
Oh, well, thanks for having me today.
Tell us about the relationship between Herman Atkins, who we're going to meet in a moment, and one of your producers, Mark Simon, that really led to the production of this powerful film.
Well, my producing partner, Mark Simon, was a former student at the Innocence Project, which is Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld's group that uses DNA to prove innocence and exonerate wrongfully convicted people. And Mark was working on a case that happened to be Herman Atkins, who spent 13 years in prison for a rape that he did not commit. And when they were able to obtain DNA evidence, it exonerated him. And when Mark met Herman and saw not just that, you know, what happens when someone's spent, you know, decades in prison, but that once they get out, they're treated worse than guilty people. You know, Herman still has a criminal record. He's not compensated. He's got a lot of issues that, you know, to deal with that an innocent person has to deal with. So we knew that making a film like this was a powerful and dramatic subject, but also with awareness, change could hopefully happen for exonerated people. So Herman really was one of the inspirations for this film.
And in the film, you profile seven individuals who were wrongfully convicted, spent serious time in prison, and ultimately have been released. And the one of the focal points that you, you know, kind of kept track of as the film progressed and brought it, you know, to a conclusion was the case of Wilton Dedge in Florida, who served 22 years. And even after his conviction was overturned, the state of Florida blocked his release for what, up to 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, pretty shocking. When we picked up his story, he'd already been proven innocent, but the original prosecutor was still the same prosecutor and did not want to let Wilton out of prison and fought every way to prevent him from getting out. And unfortunately, you don't see that all the time, but you definitely see a resistance from prosecutor and states from, you know, speeding justice and getting innocent people out or getting DNA testing. And I think that as more innocent people get out and more of their stories get told, there's more awareness. Hopefully this resistance will go away.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of the other cases with you, Jessica, in a few moments, but I want to introduce Herman now and ask him to tell his story to our listeners. Herman Atkins, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very glad that you're a free man, sir.
I am as well.
I'll bet you are. Tell us a little bit about the origins of this case. And I'm most interested in hearing about your mental state as you went through the process of being accused, arrested, indicted, and tried and convicted for a crime that you knew all along you were not responsible for.
Well, in 1988, I was tried and found guilty for two counts of rape, two counts of oral copulation.
I'm sorry, Herman?
Yes.
We can't hear you. If you could speak up a little bit, we have a weak connection.
Let me adjust the phone.
Okay, thanks.
How about that? Is that better?
That is better, yes.
Okay, yeah. 1988, I was tried and found guilty for two counts of rape, two counts of oral copulation, and one count of robbery, at which time I was sentenced to 47 years and 8 months. I served 13 years of that sentence, and in the process, there was most definitely a journey. In 1993, I was able to contact the Innocent Project, through the grace of God, by another individual who was incarcerated and doing a violation. He turned over the information to me. I contacted Barry Shack. Barry Shack, in turn, asked me to send him sentencing transcripts, serologist reports, and any other document that would shed light on my case, which I did. Shortly after that, Barry Shack, I received a letter from the Innocent Project with Barry Shack, as well as Peter Neufeld, Johnny Cochran, and Jane Green, who was then the executive director of the Innocent Project in New York, all vowing to help me obtain my freedom. It took 7 years from that time to locate the evidence, and once it was located, it took additional 2 years to have the evidence tested because of obstacles that was placed in the path by the district attorney's office in Riverside, who had prosecuted the case. And once that was done in February of 2000, I was finally exonerated for all charges that was brought up against me.
Now, Herman, had you ever even met the rape victim that you were accused of committing these crimes to?
Not only did I not meet the person, I had never known about the city of Riverside, and I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. I am the son of a highway patrolman,
right,
and the only area I've ever known about was the city of Los Angeles.
So how were you tied to the case to begin with?
Well, the victim was shown cases of young people when she called and said that she had been raped and robbed, and they showed her yearbook pictures of people, and she pointed my picture out from an old arrest picture that I had been when I was 18 for trespass, really coming through the city of Culver City, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was accused of GTA,
like driving while black?
No, it wasn't that. It was just the fact that we were pulled. Yeah, that's what it was. But we were pulled over, you know, being young, coming through over suspicion of GTA. So just in case a car had been stolen or what have you, they were going to pin it on me then. But they held me over, and that's where they got the picture from.
I see.
The picture was presented to the victim in this case some years later. This happened when I was like 17 or 18. 2 years later, it was used in, you know, as a means for a lineup, and she pointed it out and said, "Hey, this is the guy that that raped me and what have you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how my name came up.
Buck appears on camera and states what he knows to be true, which is that in more than 75% of the cases where wrongful convictions are overturned, the conviction was based on inaccurate eyewitness testimony. And this is something that many people have trouble understanding because they think, well, gosh, if you are, involved in a crime like that, a rape where you know the person had to get close to you, then you certainly would have some.
I look at them and I look at, you know, their youthful years, and I just vow to protect them from the justice system because I don't want what happened to me to happen to them and being robbed of, an opportunity of obtaining an education or making a career. I should be well on my way of having established many things that an average person would have established at the age I went in and you know, I was incarcerated.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a son at Baylor University studying to become a dentist right now, and I continuously motivate him and talk to him on a regular basis about remaining focused and obtaining the education, because that is the number one tool for black male in America to use to prevent from being caught up in the system. That's not a guarantee, but it most definitely put him in a category that takes him out of the eyesight of the American justice system or society as a large as being.
Herman, we need to take a break, and we'll come back, and I want to talk with you about what it was like when you were released and how difficult life has been for you to get back on track with no compensation from the state and other complications that you have faced. Herman Atkins is with us. He spent 13 years in jail for a rape that he did not commit, and it was the Innocence Project that overturned his conviction using DNA evidence. After Innocence is the film. We'll continue with Herman Atkins and producer-director Jessica Sanders coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 421 on this beautiful Valentine's Day. And happy Valentine's Day to you, Amy Knight.
Well, thank you, Peter. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Okay.
Love is in the air, and actually traffic moving well, too. You're just loving it out on the highways. Just a bit of slow traffic this afternoon on Highway 1 northbound, and as you pass Salinas Road in Pajaro, so expect just a minor tapping of the brakes there. In Soquel, Dobbs Avenue at Soquel Drive, a two-car crash, blocking lanes. And it looks like in Santa Cruz, Highway 1 between Market and Emmeline, Caltrans just doing tree trimming till about 4:30 this afternoon. Just a minimal delay. Men's figure skating begins, plus Bodie Miller is in his best event all tonight on ABC, America's Olympic Network. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you about 4:45. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to call and talk with our guests, you can dial us up right now at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. Or toll-free from anywhere you happen to be listening, it's 1-888-579-2540. We continue with Herman Atkins. He was exonerated for a rape that he was originally convicted of, going back to 1988. He served 11 and a half years in state prison and, of course, was in jail during the trial. And he was proven completely innocent of the crime when the Innocence Project, Barry Scheck, Peter Neufeld, and also some help from Johnny Cochran and others helped him assert his innocence. It was not easy. And when you were released, Herman Atkins, tell us a little bit about, the adjustment that was required and if your family forgave you, because the film showed clearly that your dad, a highway patrolman here in California, did not believe your claims of innocence, at least not initially.
Yes, it was, just on the family issue alone, it was devastating as well as embarrassment, a major embarrassment to the family. Once I was released, not only did the truth come to light, but it brought a sense of relief to the family. My father, he and I struggled with the issue of forgiveness, and what he didn't know was that I held no animosity in my heart towards him, because I've always understood the difference between a training and education and being in law enforcement. Law enforcement officers are trained to think a certain way. So it was no animosity there, and I was blessed to have my father, being that my mother had died a year after I was out.
And your dad refused to come and visit you while you were incarcerated, is that right?
Yes, again, he went with his training. As you saw in the movie, he stated his job was to put people in jail, not to, come and visit them.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, in fact, he retired in shame. He took his retirement and walked out the back door. He didn't, he felt as though it was an act of treason by the justice system to have his son incarcerated. And the only thing that ever came out of it was, it is what it is. In reality, it was a framing.
Now, Herman, what was it like for you to try to find a job, to reconnect with your family?
Even to this day, there is no reconnection to my family. I mean, outside of my siblings, it's still a distance. emotional-wise, spiritual-wise, physical-wise as well. It's easy. As, I mean, I live in Fresno, and my siblings live in Los Angeles. That distance is going to, you know, it's easy for us to be separated now like that because of conditioning. But as far as a job, it was one of the reasons, me not being able to find a job is one of the reasons what made me go back to school and obtain not one but two degrees in a field of psychology. Not being, I would think that one of the attention grabbers for me when I came home and changed my mind about what I needed to do was when I was offered a job, and the job centered around clerical work, and the person asked me if I knew how to operate a computer, and I didn't even know how to turn a computer on.
Wow.
So that right there let me know, okay, you really need an education as opposed to just getting out here and getting a mediocre job or what have you.
Now, Herman, I understand that some people who've been wrongfully convicted and then been proven innocent have received compensation. For example, Benny, I'm trying to remember Benny's last name, but he was convicted in Los Angeles, and he got a substantial settlement from either the city or the county of Los Angeles. Have you received any compensation for the 11 and a half years you served in state prison behind a crime you didn't commit?
Not only have I not received compensation, when I got out, me, along with a host of others, went to Sacramento to have the law change from a person can receive $10,000 for if they can prove that they have been wrongfully convicted to $800 a day. And once we were able to get that bill passed, I doubled back and applied for the same bill and was denied because they stated I allowed the statute of limitations to run out.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
What a crock.
Yes.
So, wow. Herman, time's running short here. Anything you'd like to add? Because I want to switch back to Jessica here in a moment.
Yes. I would like to add that, you know, for all to go out and see the movie After Innocence and keep in mind that the movie was made for the purpose of awareness. And for everybody who goes and see it has a responsibility to educate the next person on what they saw. So I present a challenge to those who do go and see it, and that is to tell the next person and encourage them to tell the next person so we can get laws changed and bring about the much-needed judicial reform for the nation's justice system.
Yeah. Well, Herman, nothing can ever compensate you, even cash, for what you've been through. But if it is any consolation, I'm one Californian who's very proud of you. I'm very pleased to meet you here over the phone today. I'm glad you told your story in the film, and like you, I encourage people to see it and understand for themselves the way our criminal justice system fails on too many occasions. And I'm sorry that you became a victim of it, and I hope that you're able to get your life back on track. You seem very proud of your son at Baylor, and you're certainly entitled to that, and I hope the rest of your life is much better than the preceding 20 years were.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Herman. And we're out of time for this segment, but Jessica Sanders will return with us right after the break. We wanted to have both Jessica and Herman on, but the phones are not operating real well today, and we couldn't hear both of them simultaneously. So Jessica, we'll get right back to you. She's the producer and director of this film, After Innocence, and we'll get more details on how you can see the film and tell you more of the stories of these exonerees, individuals who spent time in prison for crimes they did not commit. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, call us now, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner, Tracy, is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop. where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Attention antiquarians. The Monterey Peninsula is one of the best places in the country to go antiquing. And the two best stores on the peninsula to shop for beautiful, unique, and precious items are the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. Are you looking for a discontinued china piece to complete the wedding set you started many years ago? How about a genuine gold pocket watch with the original movement? Does authentic frontier art appeal to you? If so, you must spend a few hours browsing at the Monterey Antique and Gift Center in downtown Monterey and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove. For the finest antiques, collectibles, and jewelry, there's no place like the Monterey Antique and Gift Center, 449 Alvarado Street, and Holman's Antique Plaza at 542 Lighthouse in Pacific Grove.
Owner Nader Aga looks forward to serving you at one of his beautiful and unique shops, the Monterey Antique and Gift Center on Alvarado and Holman's Antique Plaza in Pacific Grove.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family. Ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or anytime. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa.
Games and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily from 10 to 7.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm glad you're listening. We're talking this hour about the powerful new film called After Innocence, and we continue now with producer-director Jessica Sanders. You heard in the preceding segments the powerful story of Herman Atkins, one of the seven individuals profiled in this film. Each case is an individual who was convicted of a crime they had not committed, and after years in prison, ranging from 6.5 to 23 or more, these people were able to overturn their convictions, all with the help of the Innocence Project, Barry Scheck, Peter Neufeld. And people know those attorneys from the O.J. Simpson case. And Jessica Sanders, is there any irony in that, you know, many people believe that Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld got a big payday from the O.J. Simpson trial and then plowed that money into this nonprofit called the Innocence Project. Is that true, or is that just an impression I have?
Well, Barry and Peter started the Innocence Project way before the O.J. Simpson trial. So, I mean, people, audience members don't really talk about it so much, but a couple people in L.A., because I think O.J. case was in L.A., have brought up the fact that they worked on O.J.'s case, and they were really brought on the case as the DNA experts in the country. So... Mm-hmm. They do have a private practice that they did have with Johnny Cochran, and but the Innocence Project is all funded by, you know, grants, and it's all student led. Basically, they oversee students who are trying to find evidence and, you know, calling courthouses, and they have a couple staff attorneys, so it's really a nonprofit group.
Mm-hmm. And DNA has become a critical technique, a critical process in helping individuals prove their innocence. But it doesn't work in every case because, in some cases, physical evidence wasn't the basis of the conviction. And in many cases, the physical evidence has been lost or destroyed. And so these seven individuals are fortunate that there was some sort of physical evidence, tissue samples, swabs from a rape kit that were available
so that with the new technology, they were able to prove beyond any doubt that they were innocent of the crime that they had been convicted of. Do you have any sense of how many other claims of innocence are out there, people who are unable to access that physical evidence that's so critical to a DNA reversal?
Right. Well, they really think that these DNA exonerees, like we know, really are the lucky few people, and they're only about 20% of cases have biological evidence in it that's been preserved or actually has evidence in it. So we know there's, you know, another 80% of people that don't, you know, have access to the evidence or it wasn't in their case. And there's 2.2 million people in prison in the United States, and even with a 1% error rate, which mm-hmm. is fairly low in what they have been able to study with statistics, that's over 20,000 people who potentially could be innocent in prison. So that's what they really think the numbers are up to. And Herman can tell you, and all the other men in our film can tell you, they all know other innocent people in prison, and they all want to help them. And for instance, in Florida right now, they've got a law where they're trying to destroy all evidence in cases they consider old. Well, Dej in our film spent 22 years in prison and was the first DNA exoneree in Florida, which I think also is an example of why they were resisting to let him out. And he and the Innocence Project are on a campaign to stop that law from happening because he says, you know, he's one of those cases. His case is 22 years old. Why would you be sealing people's fates from being able to prove their innocence? And that's what's happening right now in a lot of states.
Yeah. And what are the statistics to date, or just at least an estimation, how many exonerees are there who have been able to overturn significant convictions based on DNA or other new evidence?
There's been 165 DNA exonerees and over 1,000 exonerees for other reasons, such as, mm-hmm. you know, people confess to the crime or other reasons. So
yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that gives people a good sense of just how often the criminal justice system commits errors. And some of these are errors that commit people to lifetime prison sentences, and the more egregious ones are those that have capital punishment attached. And you have a segment with former Illinois Governor George Ryan in the film After Innocence, and he, of course, very courageously commuted all of the sentences of death row inmates in Illinois, and he also pardoned a number who were able to establish their innocence. And this is really crucial because death row, you know, to be sentenced to death, you encounter a series of appeals that many people believe establish beyond any doubt the guilt or innocence of this convict. But most people aren't aware that the appeals rarely address the underlying issue of guilt or innocence. They're all around technicalities and legal processes and whether the jury pool was properly selected and whether the judge gave the right instructions. Those are the matters that are taken up on appeal. But in many cases, the Supreme Court has, the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to even look at a case because the only issue raised was, well, he's innocent.
Yeah, I mean, Governor Ryan, he is a Republican and was a strong proponent of the death penalty. And there were 13 men who were exonerated on his death row, and 12 had been executed. So it had a higher rate of exoneration than execution. So he said, hold on, we have to look at the system. This isn't right. I don't want to go forward with another execution knowing that our error rate is over 50%. So he put a moratorium on the death penalty and examined all the cases and came up with a review board that suggested all these reforms to improve the system, of which Illinois would not adhere to. So he said, I have to put a halt on all executions in this state. So all the death penalty sentences were changed to life in prison.
Mm-hmm. And it is ironic that George Ryan is now a defendant in the criminal justice system in Illinois. He is facing charges of corruption. While he was the Secretary of State, and I guess it was he's charged that some of those ethics problems continued as he was governor. I'm not in a position to sort those issues out, but based on the work that he did as governor, I wish him the best in defending himself in that current case. Has that proceeded to trial, do you know, the Ryan case itself?
I think it might be, but yeah, I really admire him and know him for his acts and, you know, with human social justice issues with the death penalty. And, you know, a lot of politicians are involved with issues that he's under examination now, but he definitely should be remembered for the act that he did a couple mm-hmm. years ago.
Now, Jessica, in our next segment, I want to talk about a couple of other cases, including Scott Hornoff, who we had hoped would join us today, but he had a problem at the last minute and had to cancel. But in the meantime, tell us, our listeners are in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area, and in the Eureka area. Do you know if the film is being screened in either of those areas in the near future?
I'm not quite sure. They can go log on to our website, which is afterinnocence.com, to find a theater near them.
Okay.
And they can also request to have the film played at their local Innocence or their local art house theater, or a lot of universities have requested the film. So there's a ways of getting the film to your community as well.
Okay.
And that's all on our website.
At what point will it be available on DVD or VHS?
The film is rolling out nationwide in theaters, then it will go to Showtime. So if you get Showtime, you can see it probably in the end of the year, and then it will go to DVD. So people can sign up on our website to get updates as to when the film is coming near them or if they want to learn more about how to get involved with the issue.
Okay. And that's at afterinnocence.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, we're going to take a break and return with Jessica Sanders. She's producer and director of this new film, After Innocence. If you have a question or comment, there's time for you to join us. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or toll free from Eureka or anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. And yes, we accept collect calls from prisons. Today we will. If you'd like to email me, my email address is peter@krxa540.com. It's 4:42 now, and we'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The USDA recommends 2 to 4 servings of fruit a day, but most Americans simply aren't getting sufficient amounts of vitamins and minerals in their diet. Renowned herbalist Tony O'Donnell says that the secret to great health is a balanced and consistent diet of red foods. Tune into KRXA AM 540 on Saturday, February 18th at 5 p.m. to hear his easy solution to health problems big and small. You won't want to miss this show on Saturday, February 18th at 5 p.m. right here on KRXA AM 540, your progressive prescription.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th. Travel the world without packing a suitcase.
KRXA traffic time is 4:45, and we get the latest Valentine traffic update from Amy Knight.
Much better news from our cherub overhead in Carmel. Southbound 1 at Carpenter Street, an earlier accident in the middle of the roadway has been cleared. But a new problem, southbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard with a solo spin-out in the center divide. In Gilroy, South 101 at 25, you'll find a solo car crash on the right-hand shoulder and getting reports of a grass fire burning Cabrillo College Drive and Soquel Drive with fire crews responding. Also, one last problem in Castroville, Blackie Road at Cara Mia Parkway, you'll find two cars off to the shoulder. A tech person who's also a people person is management material. Earn your MS in software engineering in just 12 months from National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NAT-UNIV. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, we have a short visit with Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. She'll tell you about Richard Pombo's taxpayer-financed RV tour with the family last summer. And a few other things, too. We continue with the producer and director of this powerful new film, After Innocence. She is Jessica Sanders, and this film profiles seven individuals who were wrongfully convicted, and rotting in jail is not an inaccurate way to describe it, until they were able to assert their innocence and, through the efforts of the Innocence Project, use DNA testing to establish that they were not the culprit of the crimes for which they had been convicted. And Jessica, I'd like to turn next to the case of Scott Hornoff, because many people, I think, when they see the film, will be shocked that a working police officer was accused and convicted of a crime that he did not commit. Most people would think that a member of that fraternity, a person who wears the badge, would have the resources and the knowledge of the criminal justice system to, you know, use it to prove their innocence. And Scott Hornoff was not freed until the real killer confessed to the murder that he was convicted of.
Yeah, when I met Scott, I mean, he's a white police officer who spent 8 years in prison for a murder that he didn't commit, and I said, wow, if it can happen to him, it really can happen to anyone, which is why I felt really strongly about including him, because I think people tend to think, oh, you know, maybe these people, you know, had prior convictions, or maybe, you know, they were bad people, but, you know, only, you know, very few people have any priors, and, you know, Scott's a perfect example. He was a cop, and he has now dedicated his life to reforming the criminal justice system, and like many of these exonerees are activists, and he's now getting his master's degree in criminal justice, and he wants to basically be a professor and to teach both sides of the system to prevent what happened to him from happening to others.
Mm-hmm. And Jessica, if you can update us, I imagine the film got wrapped up sometime last fall, and as I remember at the time, Scott Hornoff had won a court case and had received a court order reinstating him to his job on the Warwick Police Department there in Rhode Island. That's just outside of Providence. And the city and the police department were balking at honoring that court order. Has that been resolved?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to the Supreme Court of Rhode Island now because, Scott, even though he was technically reinstated, the state is, and city of Warwick is resisting his statement and his back pay that he should get for the 8 years he spent in prison. So he's, you know, definitely an example of exonerees who are just trying to move forward with their lives, and there's a lot preventing them from doing so, and especially in his case, I think it has to do with about saving face. And you know, I think his own police force did really terrible police work, which resulted in his wrongful conviction. And they look pretty bad, you know, in having been a part of convicting their own. And I think resisting, you know, him getting the things that he, you know, has been entitled to is a part of this general saving face that we see in a lot of these cases. And I think Scott is different from most exonerees because he, you know, since he was 10 years old, he wanted to be a police officer, and he feels betrayed by the system in a way that other people certainly feel betrayal, but he has a much more intimate and profound betrayal that he feels that he's definitely coping with.
Well, and it, again, it's stunning that he was a detective. So you would think that in any kind of an investigation of a murder case, that a detective on the force would be a least likely suspect. And yet he was convicted of this murder. And fortunately, Rhode Island does not have the death penalty, so he was not on death row, but he did serve some 6.5 years after he was convicted. In the materials you provided, I'd like to just read a couple of lines from an open letter that Jeffrey Scott Hornoff wrote. He said, "I'm a detective with the Warwick, Rhode Island Police Department, and I used to be in favor of the death penalty, that is, until I was charged, tried, and convicted of first-degree murder. If Rhode Island had the death penalty, I'd have been on it. Instead, I was sentenced to life in prison, and after spending 6 years, 4 months, and 18 days, I was freed when the one responsible, filled with hauntings and remorse, came forward. I still believe that our DNA quest or federal appeals would have eventually freed me, but I'd still be there today." And he says, "I graduated second in my class from the Rhode Island Municipal Police Academy in 1983. I attended the BCI school. He's a dive master. He was on the police dive team, underwater assault team. He has a BS in administration of justice from Roger Williams University." And so, you know, here is somebody who has all the credentials and you would think would be the least likely to be falsely convicted of a crime. And as you said a moment ago, Jennifer, if it can happen to him, it can happen to almost anyone. And what I've seen in my study of these issues over the years is that it's the people who don't have the education, the resources, the savvy of how the criminal justice system works. They don't know a lawyer at all, much less a good lawyer. And so they are victims more than once when they end up trapped in the criminal justice system.
Definitely, and then they're victims of the system once they get out because they're treated, you know, worse than guilty people, and that definitely needs to be changed. So that's
and
what
talk a little bit about, you did a survey of the status of laws around the country of compensation for those who've been wrongfully convicted, and it's pretty dismal. While there is a law in California that you're supposed to get $100 a day for each day served, we heard from Herman Atkins that they denied him that benefit, saying that he had waited too long to apply.
Yeah, I mean, only 18 states have compensation legislation, of which not even a handful of those are really adequate compensation. And like you said, in California, even though they have one of the best compensation laws, most exonerees haven't even been able to get access to it. One of the caveats of the California law that they're trying to change is that it says you can't have contributed to your wrongful conviction, which, I mean, I don't really know what that means. You know, at a certain point, a judge gets to decide, even though you've been, you know, proven innocent wrongfully, that if you somehow were a part of that conviction, then you aren't entitled to it. And, you know, people are wrongfully convicted of a variety of reasons, from confessions to, you know, planted evidence to all sorts of things. So that law definitely needs to be changed. And we have a whole awareness education aspect with our film as it rolls out across the country, where we're showing it to state legislatures to help get compensation legislation. And for instance, in Florida, where they don't have any compensation, the film was shown to legislators, and with the work of some amazing attorneys and the Innocence Project, Wilton Dedge, who spent 22 years in prison, wrongfully is featured in our film, was just awarded with a private compensation bill of $2 million. So really proud to be a part of his compensation. And as a filmmaker, our goal would be to, you know, have all the guys in our film get compensated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I certainly support that 100%. I hasten to add, though, that that does not solve the problems of these individuals who spent years in jail knowing they were innocent and fighting to prove it. And many of them emerge as damaged individuals. Their health is often at risk. You dedicate the film to an exoneree who was released but only lived for about 2 years because prison health care is weak at best.
And there also are just the reintegration problems. The two people I was trying to remember earlier, it was Benny Chance and I think Clarence Powell, who were exonerated in California, and they received compensation from the city of Los Angeles, I believe to the tune of roughly $1 million each. And one of them did well and you know, was able to make the transition, and the other ran through the money and wound up, I believe, back in prison behind some other crimes. So it is not an easy route for these people who have suffered so much, even after they win their freedom.
Right. And just so you know, though, out of the 165 DNA exonerees, only two exonerees have ever committed a felony after their release. So it's not like they were bad people going in. And we know that the rates of recidivism for guilty people is pretty high, but for these innocent people, it isn't. But, you know, they definitely are having a very difficult time upon their release, because if they don't have their families, they're literally left homeless. And, you know, they're trying to just deal with losing, you know, 20 years, and then to have zero support is, you know, is unjust.
Indeed. Ben from Salinas, join us. It's Peter B. with Jessica Sanders.
Yes, I have what I believe to be a worthwhile question that I'd love to hear you two bounce around. Is the concept of private prisons, such as the whack and hut system that we all hear about, and the federal and state government prisons now, you guys talked to a lot of inmates, and you see the level of care, whether or not it should be privatized. But I'm just wondering, let's say either one of you had the mishap to be in a prison, would you be more advantageous in a whack and hut privately owned prison, similar, I guess, to those Corrections Corporations of America, which I believe the Bushes hold much in? The advent of making money off of people's freedom and suffering, to me, is almost anti-religious. But then again, I would love to hear you two bounce it back and forth. Which is better?
Jessica, what do you know about these corporate prisons?
I don't know if either is better. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in any prison, but just what you're talking about, I do know that prison is big business now, and there is a lot of industry in prison, and that there's a lot of labor that has benefited from prisoners. And one of the men in my film was in Angola in Louisiana, which is a famous prison, and he calls it a modern-day slave plantation because he worked, I think it was like 10 cents a day, maybe, for doing, you know, hard labor that he did for 20 years. So,
and Angola is where they have the rodeo and these fights. They stage fights between the inmates, and there have been fatalities caused by them. Ben, to your question, I'm more familiar with CCA than Whack and Hut. CCA has a number of prisons in the state of Ohio. They've had higher than average rates of escape. They're not well managed, and they cut corners on food service and other care for inmates because they're out there to make a profit. And often they undersell or pretend, you know, that they're going to spend more than they do in order to get these contracts. But when it actually comes to living up to them, there's very little enforcement, and these state governments tend to look the other way. Thanks for checking in today, Ben. And Jessica, thank you for the work. After Innocence is the film, and you should visit afterinnocence.com to get more information and find out when it will be screening at a theater near you. Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me and spreading the word about the film and the issues that the film addresses. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Rough day for Harry Whittington, the vice president's injured hunting buddy. One of those birdshot pellets snuggled up against the heart and made it twitch. A silent heart attack.
The single BB that's lodged in Mr. Whittington's heart muscle is minuscule compared even to a penny. But judging from the accident report from Texas Parks and Wildlife officials, the greatest concentration of the blast was right over Mr. Whittington's chest.
CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan. Doctors say they are very confident the situation is minor. Whittington reportedly wants to go home. Doctors want him to stay for another week of observation. With apologies in advance, today's combined skiing gold went lickety-split to an American.
Few had heard of Ted Ligety before Torino. Now he's the toast of American skiers. Ligety came from obscurity to win the Alpine combined. Bodie Miller, who was thought to be America's top hope in the event, led after the first portion, but then was disqualified after the first of two slalom runs. Officials ruled Miller did not properly go past a gate. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Winter Olympics in Torino.
If longtime terror group Hamas wants to be treated like statesmen in Middle East politics, White House spokesman Scott McClellan says they need to act like statesmen.
Hamas is the one who has a choice to make. If Hamas wants relations with the international community, then it must renounce terror, recognize Israel, and disarm.
What if there were a fat pill? Take a pill and watch that Sugar Jones just melt away. It could happen.
Rimonabant, a drug that turns off your desire to eat, produced modest but sustained weight loss in a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. On a low dose, one quarter of the patients lost 5% or more of their weight. On a higher dose, nearly half the patients achieved that. Dr. Denise Simons-Morton at the National Institutes of Health doubts, though, there is a miracle pill for obesity.
We don't know what's going to happen if people stay on these medications for a long period of time.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Once a girl's hormones start racing around in her body and she starts growing into a woman, she is more likely to have a hard time sleeping. Researchers estimate 11% of 13 to 16-year-olds suffer from insomnia at some point during those hormonally explosive years. Walmart doesn't want to sell morning-after contraceptive pills, but Massachusetts officials say, tough, sell them anyway. Victoria's lawyer Samuel Perkins.
It may be they need things like lawsuits in order to be able to explain to their constituency why it is they're changing their policy.
Willie Nelson's out with a new song, an unusual cowboy anthem for Valentine's Day named Cowboys Are Frequently, Secretly Fond of Each Other. Yep, he saw the movie. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 136 points to close at 11,028. The Nasdaq up about 22 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's John Madden here to give you what every homeowner wants, a great excuse to go to the hardware store. This Saturday, February 18th, is the Ace Hardware Bag Sale. For one day only, save 20% on whatever you can fit in a bag. So come in this Saturday only, February 18th, and save big. Ace, the helpful place. Discount off regular price of in-stock merchandise. Additional exclusions may apply. See participating store for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
If you haven't had luck with love, maybe it's time to try something different. That's why Match.com is now working with
the one, the only, Dr. Phil!
At Match.com, we've got the right people, and Dr. Phil's got the right insight. It's a great way to the right relationship.
Bottom line, when it comes to relationships, it is all about attitude.
Match.com will show you who. Dr. Phil will show you how. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
We are about to hear the crack of baseball bats again. The U.S. roster for the World Baseball Classic next month has been named.
Many are household names. Derek's, Lee and Jeter, Dontrell, A-Rod, Chipper and Damon. Others are up in covers like Chase Utley, Jeff Francoeur and Matt Holliday. And then there's Roger Clemens, the 43-year-old seven-time Cy Young Award winning pitcher who hasn't yet decided whether he'll play Major League Baseball this year.
I haven't. My thoughts are directed towards these games and to get through those games and be extremely effective.
Team USA plays its first game against Mexico March 7th in Phoenix. Other first-round games will be played in San Juan, Tokyo, and here. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
If, when, there is a flu pandemic again, and when, not if, there develops a shortage of mechanical ventilators, how are doctors to decide who gets the help and who does not? It's an uncreated process, researchers say health officials need to be crafting before such difficult decisions are actually presented. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. Know what's great about hosting a national talk show? You hear the latest health and nutrition information. That's why I was surprised to find out that a great thing you can do to help promote a healthy heart comes from something I've loved my whole life. Welch's 100% grape juice. Yeah, the same delicious grape juice we all grew up on is actually good for your heart. Because Welch's is made from antioxidant-rich Concord grapes with no added sugar. It's even certified by the American Heart Association. Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you could do for your heart.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes. Your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm pretty glad about that. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and this is one of those hours that we call the Free Speech Zone. We're going to kick it off with an update from Washington from Melanie Sloan, and then go to your calls. 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast. That's a local call. 831-899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free from Eureka or wherever you happen to be listening, including Cypress, California. It's toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. And let me ask you something. You ever wanted to rent an RV, load up the family, and visit all of the national parks west of the Mississippi? And get taxpayers to pay for it? That's what Richard Pombo did. Melanie Sloan is the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW. Hello, Melanie. How are you today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, when Pombo took that trip and charged us for it, he didn't even send me a postcard from Joshua Tree.
And shouldn't he have been sending all of the taxpayers in America a postcard for that trip?
I think so. Now, he explains this as one of those fact-finding missions, and he investigated the cost of flying to all of those parks. Would have been a fortune. Of course, he could have gotten a lobbyist to take care of it. But he said for $5,000, he was able to rent a Winnebago or some other kind of RV for a couple of weeks. And he tooled around in the West. And because he had already rented the RV, he just invited the family to come along. They took a vacation, but he didn't. Is this a believable story?
The answer is pretty clearly no, that's not a believable story. And even if we, you know, had doubts that we wanted to believe it, we have some folks who actually work at the parks who've said they never saw Mr. Pombo. The chief park naturalist at Sequoia and Kings Canyon in California searched his records and couldn't find any sign of any meeting with Pombo. And he says generally, you know, they do remember somebody like a congressman coming to town because that's very important. Joshua Tree's National Park also said that there was no one who met with Mr. Pombo. So it is pretty clear that at least some of these trips, some of these park visits were purely recreational.
Well, wait a minute. He was undercover. He was digging in the dumpsters for facts.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember how Bob Ney, a congressman from Ohio, went to Scotland to play golf at St. Andrews, but what he wrote down on his travel forms was that he went to meet with Scottish parliamentarians, and it turned out that the Scottish Parliament was out of session then, and there was no record of Ney ever meeting with any member of the Scottish Parliament. That's what Pombo's trip sounds like to me, the same kind of thing, but he went to the national parks while Ney went to Scotland.
Now, at least, and I'm not defending the congressman, but just for the illusion of balance, he is charged with, as chair of the Natural Resources Committee, the national parks do fall under his jurisdiction. That's correct, right?
Look, all of this is true, and I don't have any qualms about that. I don't even doubt that Mr. Pombo should at times visit national parks. What I question is when he takes his entire family on an RV trip to visit several parks during the kids' summer vacation and then charges the taxpayer. The rest of us have to pay for our own family vacations, so should our congressman.
claims he checked with authorities. Was it the Moribund Ethics Committee that he contacted before he took this trip?
No, even better, he checked with the House Administration Committee run by our friend Bob Ney.
Oh!
You'd appreciate that.
No wonder he got clearance.
That's right.
Now, my old pal Pete McCloskey has come out of retirement to challenge Richard Pombo. He's moved into a rental unit in the district, and he said that if he's elected, he promises that he'll pay for any trips he takes to the national parks, and he even one-upped. He said as a senior citizen, he's entitled to free admission to any federal park, and so it will cost us even less.
Yes, I know Mr. McCloskey as well, and I think it will be an enjoyable experience to watch him run against Mr. Pombo, and he's a Republican, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in that primary.
Now let's move on to Jack Abramoff and that murky photo that was published over the weekend, which showed the president shaking hands with the chief of an Indian tribe, I think the Kickapoos from Texas, and Jack Abramoff was lurking in the background, but visible in the picture. You didn't even need Photoshop to blow it up. And there was also, in the right-hand frame of the picture, the unmistakable profile of Karl Rove. Now, that's a very interesting photograph. What does it tell us?
It tells us that basically President Bush has been lying when he said he doesn't know Abramoff. He, in a news conference on January 26th, said he didn't know Abramoff. And I think he offended Jack Abramoff because Abramoff has since told reporters that, indeed, he did know President Bush, and President Bush knew him well enough to ask about his children. There are apparently a whole collection of photographs of the president and Jack Abramoff, and Jack Abramoff has them, but he's still, at this point, not sharing them all. And, of course, the White House is refusing to release them. It's funny because during the Clinton era, when there were issues about who Clinton was having coffees with in the White House, the Republican Congress pressured the White House hugely to release videotapes of those coffees. And in fact, all those photographs and videos were eventually released. But strangely, or maybe not so strangely, you don't hear anything from the Republican Congress asking for the photographs of Jack Abramoff and the president.
Melanie, what's the status? Many of us are hopeful that Jack Abramoff is going to name names. After all, he has pled guilty to bribery, and one would expect that there were people who responded to his blandishments. And for him to plead guilty to bribing somebody, there has to be a willing recipient. So when are we going to see Bob Ney and Roy Blunt and a few of these others who we think are closely linked to Abramoff, and let's not forget Pombo and John Doolittle of Northern California. These are people who all have ties to him. When will the process go forward where we'll actually hear details of these relationships between Abramoff and members of Congress?
Well, it's hard to say, because before prosecutors actually issue an indictment, they like to have all their ducks in a row. They like to have everything in their case sewn up. From what I'd understood, the delay in the Bob Ney case is that they're still working out a plea agreement with Neil Volz. Neil Volz is Ney's former chief of staff, who then went to work for Abramoff, and it is a standard prosecutorial tool to work your way up the chain. So you'd go to Volz before you went to Ney. It's also my understanding that prosecutors are working on a plea deal with Tony Rudy, a former deputy chief of staff to Tom DeLay. I fully expect at some point in the future that Tom DeLay will be indicted in this scandal. But it's a slow process. You know, there's that old expression for a reason, the wheels of justice turn slowly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you keep us posted if there are any developments in that, that set of cases. We're fascinated and waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, me too.
I want to move on, Melanie, to another issue that you're working on. And many people have forgotten about this, but it has to do with the original settlement with tobacco companies and the way, well, somewhat quietly, the Bush administration sharply reduced the penalties from $130 billion to $10 billion. And that, of course, was a beautiful gift to Altria, I guess is the new name for Philip Morris and the other tobacco companies in this country. What is the status of that that give back, and what is the filing that you have made to try to bring some daylight to that case?
this is one of the most outrageous things, in my view, that's happened during the Bush administration, and it got a lot of press last June when it happened. And what one of the things that we learned at the time was several people in the Justice Department came forward and said that they'd been pressured by the Department of Justice to come down in their estimates. Experts were told to come down in their estimates of how much damage had been done. And this settlement was all related to racketeering charges that the tobacco companies had were found guilty of. So because there was nothing, the Bush administration was refusing to say anything about why they came down in the penalty by 92% when you go down from $130 billion to $10 billion. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request asking that the Justice Department hand over all the records regarding that settlement. And what's important to know here is the Associate Attorney General, which is the number two at Justice, was a former lawyer at one of the tobacco law firms, Alston and Byrd. So there was a lot of speculation, and indeed people hinted at it who'd worked at Justice, that he was involved in making that decision. So we've asked Justice to hand over the documents, and Justice has set up all these roadblocks, refusing to give the documents to us. But last week we had a hearing in federal court here in the District of Columbia, and Judge Emmett Sullivan was skeptical about the Justice Department's explanations. The Justice Department actually came in and told the judge that they didn't think they were ever going to have to turn over a single document. This was something that they could keep secret forever. And Judge Sullivan said he didn't understand how the American people weren't entitled to the information on why that, why the case was, why the figure was so dramatically dropped, and we're now seeking what we call discovery, which is depositions. We're seeking to go in and ask questions of the Associate Attorney General, Robert McCallum, and other high-level justice officials, and the judge is going to rule on that shortly.
All right. Well, Melanie, thank you for joining us today. We ran out of time, but I want to tip people off. Visit the website Citizens for Ethics, spell out F-O-R, citizensforethics.org, and learn more about another effort that you're undertaking to stop the abuse of nonprofits by lobbyists and other groups, notably this new organization called the Center for Union Facts, which appears to be a front for lobbyist Richard Berman. Thanks for your work on that and all these issues. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Peter.
That's Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Next, we go to your calls. Any subject, any viewpoint is welcome in the Free Speech Zone. Call me now at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. Or toll free from Eureka or anywhere else within the sound of my voice. 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
KRXA 540 with your Valentine traffic update. It's 520, and here's Amy Knight.
New injury accident, minor injuries, Romer Street at Chanticleer, so expect delays. Also in Monterey, Fremont Street at Ramona, an injury accident on the shoulder, at least four vehicles involved. Crews are on scene and traffic backed up in the area. Better news for Gilroy, South 101 at 25, an earlier crash cleared. Same thing for Rio Del Mar, southbound Highway 1. It's much better now, but traffic may still be slow in the area. Watch out for several rugs in the lanes, Mount Hermon at Covenant, and also Recliner, southbound one at Del Monte Boulevard in Marina. It's in the left lane. Sylvan Learning Center, learning feels good. Call 800-EDUCATE today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you about 545. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speed zone, and I'm expecting a call from you, my Valentine. Yeah, come on, bring on the love. I got my bright red Valentine shirt on. You can see it on the radio, right? Once again, my phone numbers, 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. We got a full board of calls, and with respect to our callers, I'll get right to you. I just want to throw out a couple of topics. You may still want to talk about Dick Cheney's hunting accident over the weekend, the friendly fire incident in Texas. That's fine. I'd love to hear you talk about the innocents incarcerated, and there are more who need to be released. Very proud of the work the Innocence Project has done, and I hope you learned something from the conversation with Herman Atkins, who spent about 12 years in the California prison system for a crime he did not commit. He had never even been to the town where the rape occurred, and yet he was convicted. His dad was a highway patrolman. You would think he would have had access to better lawyers and more resources, but that was not the case. So I'd be happy to talk about that. And also the withdrawal of Paul Hackett, the Iraq War veteran, who is declining now to run for the United States Senate from Ohio. He was persuaded, threatened, wheedled by party leaders who cut off the money supply and sent a clear message to Paul Hackett that they did not want him to run for the U.S. Senate. And I think this is one of the fundamental problems with the Democratic Party. And if they continue to operate this way, they will consign themselves to the minority for the foreseeable future. Let progressives run. Let challengers enter these races. We do not have to crown or coronate Sherrod Brown as the Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. He's an able candidate, and I would be happy to support him if he wins the primary. But for the party leadership to squeeze Hackett out is, frankly, undemocratic, and that's a lowercase d. Let's go to your calls, and I appreciate all the people who've jumped on the line here. Lisa from Eureka, you're up first, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter, and happy Valentine's Day. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I was just blowing you an air kiss.
Oh,
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, you know, I just don't get it. You know, we've become a country of sheep. And I have to say, where's the outrage? Where are the angry people? Where are the demonstrations? Where are the people who are true Americans who stand up and do the things that our founding fathers actually fought and died for?
Well, it's sad. We see people marching and protesting and destroying property. Now they're on to Colonel Sanders and other American franchises in the Muslim world as a result of some cartoons. And you would think that the issues related to the U.S. Invasion of Iraq and our continuing occupation of an Arab and Muslim country would be a more significant issue to them. And likewise, in the United States, people are easily distracted. I've said this before, but there was more of a protest last year about whether the voting on American Idol was fairly conducted than there was about the stolen elections in Ohio.
Exactly.
And I don't get it either, but
I just don't understand the 10-second mentality. I don't get it. You know, if the minority of us that are angry get loud enough, is that how we're going to get heard?
At an insult, Lisa, the Republicans say that Hillary Rodham Clinton is too angry. And she ain't angry enough for me.
No, she's not angry enough for me either.
She's willing to straddle almost every Republican agenda item and come up with a position that is Republican light.
Exactly.
And they tell us that she's too angry and that she's an angry liberal. That's an insult to angry liberals.
Here's something that I don't think people even think about. It takes 2 seconds for the soundbite. It takes 20 minutes to explain why the soundbites are wrong. And in this 10-second mentality, people are just, they don't want to hear the 20-minute explanation. They're too busy listening to the 10-second soundbite.
Thanks, Lisa. I want to jump to Dennis in King City next. Hello, Dennis. You're on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter. Now, don't blow me a kiss.
Okay, that's the deal.
Okay. Hey, I want to talk about Paul Hackett, too, but a couple quick things. George Bush was also a crooked governor, and the fellow that got shot by Cheney kind of saved his rear end out of a funeral scam that was going on down there.
Right.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is we need to spend a lot of time in this Paul Pillard comment. It just proves that Bush lied to us unbelievably about the reasons to go into war.
Well, I'm glad you're paying attention. Paul Pillar has retired from the CIA, where he was in charge of our counterintelligence in the Middle East, and he has added to the record that we already knew that they cherry-picked intelligence. They weren't interested in the CIA's contingency plans for the post-topple era in Iraq and on down the line.
Absolutely.
This is a group that was determined to go to war, and they got what they wanted.
That's right. Now, Ed Shute got me on fire today, Big Ed. I called up Howard Dean's, the DNC, and I called the Democrat Party, and I led into them. I told them, I don't know what's going on with those people. If they're treating their own people like this, this is the kind of candidates we need like him. And when I heard Paul Hackett talk about my word is my bond, it reminded me of my dad, who raises kids to have his handshake and your word was your bond, which you don't hear anymore. And I appreciate that kind of a comment, especially from a candidate that's going to be. And the only problem with having that attitude is your word is your bond, is you have a tendency to believe other people's word is the same way, and that's not the way it goes.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway,
I have a great deal of respect for Paul Hackett. I found him more conservative than me on issues other than the war. But I was willing to accept that because he is so strong about the issues of Iraq and has the credibility as a veteran to address them. And Democrats need more of that, not less. It's a real loss to America that he was squeezed out before voters had a chance to decide whether he should oppose Mike DeWine for the Senate seat in Ohio this year. Dennis, thanks a lot for your call. We're in the free speech zone. More calls coming up. You can join us, 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. Got it?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is an IRA distribution specialist. Other than your home, your retirement plan is probably the largest investment you have. And you have a choice. You can pass it on to your beneficiaries as a legacy, or it can be left as an IOU to Uncle Sam. Chaos can lead to confusion. Most financial advisors cannot help or answer such questions like, why should my IRA not be in my trust? Should there be a separate IRA for each beneficiary? Is there a way to set up a multi-generation stretch IRA? Michelle Ashen, a certified estate planner and IRA distribution expert, is offering a 30-minute free consultation which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show rolling through our final hour. We're in the free speech zone. It's 5:33. And while I don't always believe the weather forecast, it appears that this is the last day of summer. For now. It's been a really nice break here in the middle of winter to have this fabulous weather. Our lines are open for you. Local call on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from everywhere at 1-888-579-2540. And during the break, Marjorie checked in from Southern Oregon, listening to KGOE, and she's got a great suggestion. What's a good shorthand name for Dick Cheney's friendly fire incident on the Armstrong Ranch over the weekend?
Chappaquiddick, she says. One thing I wish in the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, I do not have a copy of Junior Walker's Shotgun, which would be perfect for these days. I do have just a shotgun. Let's go to Jake. Jake in Eureka, Arcata. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Not bad.
Well, I'd just like to say that my impression, which I think I shared with you yesterday, was that they were obviously hiding something big here with Cheney and the shooting. And I thought maybe it was this guy was worse off than they were admitting to. And, well, you know, today I found out he had a light heart attack, according to the press. I hate to laugh, but, I mean, it was just yesterday they were saying he was up, joking with the doctors, he was going to be out of the hospital. Next thing you know, he's back in intensive care for another week. He had a heart attack. Cheney, after all, the Secret Service kept the local authorities from talking to him the night, Saturday night that this happened. He didn't get to talk to the authorities or wouldn't talk to the authorities until Sunday. Then what was that about? Could it maybe have something to do with the fact that Cheney has a history of alcohol abuse? You know, two DUI convictions, after all. There's a lot to this story that Cheney and the White House are lying about, and we need an investigation. Let's find out why this happened and what they're trying to cover up.
Well, a couple of points. You're correct that all along the coverage or the reporting of this incident was slow and understated because they first told us that he was sprayed or he was peppered. And the original descriptions were vague about what part of Whittington's body was hit by the buckshot. And initially, it seemed that it was a very light spraying and that, you know, it was confined to his shoulder and part of his face. But we have since learned that the shot appeared to be more direct to his chest because this buckshot that got into his heart, I had speculated that it went through his bloodstream, but it appears it was a result of the original firing of the shotgun. So those are just a couple of examples of the way the reporting has been shaded, understated, or even misdirected. And, gosh, that's got Carl Rove's fingerprints on it.
Well, it sure does. And, you know, even here in our local news, the Eureka Times Standard, our local paper, they ran the Cheney story Monday on page B6. You know, I'm saying like it wasn't even a big story. And if you listen to these right-wing propagandists, the Sean Hannitys and Rush Limbaughs of the world, they're acting like we shouldn't even be discussing this. This isn't even important. This is, you know, hey, an accident, no big deal. You know, the fact is, it's been 200 years since the vice president shot somebody, and since they tried to cover this up, and since it was clearly Dick Cheney's Chappaquiddick, they are hiding something. And I had to listen to Sean Hannity for how many years talk about Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick? Guess what, Republicans? You get to hear about Cheney's Chappaquiddick and the fact that Cheney was, number one, probably drunk when he did it, number two, didn't want to talk to the authorities so he could sober up, and number three, this poor guy is probably worse off than they're admitting to, and I'm sick of being lied to in America. Are you sick of being lied to? I hope so. It's about time we kick these idiots out, Peter.
Jake, I appreciate your comments. Some of them are speculative. They may be dead on. But so far, the authorities have reported that there was no drinking involved. So that's the official story.
Yeah, but
the
Peter,
other
you know,
is
drinking
I need
and hugging
to
go together like peanut butter and jelly. Come on, I mean, you know.
I need to correct.
We're talking about too.
I need to correct one thing I said yesterday, and that is I have since discovered that Cheney's hunting license was not fully in force. Apparently, he had a Texas hunting license, but not for birds, and so he has, like Schwarzenegger, and his motorcycle license. After the fact, Dick Cheney has mailed a check for $7 to the authorities in Texas to upgrade his hunting license to where it should have been on Saturday.
Yeah, well, Peter, I say Cheney should just resign, take a permanent vacation, and he can go do all the hunting he wants to. And hopefully, Dick Cheney, next time, you know, he'll aim at the birds and not at the people. You know, I don't hunt myself, but, you know, if you're going to hunt, Christ, at least don't shoot your hunting partners. Come on, Republicans.
That is a basic rule of the NRA. Thanks a lot, Jake. Next, we go to Billy in Capitola. Hello, Billy. How are you today?
I'm lousy.
You're lousy?
Yeah, because I don't want to do the work that's going to be involved.
Two?
The Democratic Party, it's really over, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we can work with it any further. I've been disappointed. You know, I sort of had to write Hillary off when she did the thing with the flag-burning amendment.
Well, I wrote her off before that, but welcome to my club.
You know,
well, I understand,
believe...
Billy, I'll let you talk, but I do understand your sense here that many of us had really hoped that the Alito filibuster was an opportunity for Democrats, even if they lost in the end, to establish their difference from the Republicans. And the squeeze on Paul Hackett is just another example that the Democrats are business as usual. They're mostly about protecting incumbents. They want to take what they consider to be the safest shot. And as long as they continue this cautious route, this DLC-driven, centrist, cautious approach, we will continue to lose, we will remain in the minority, and we will be the victims of the Republican juggernaut.
It's pretty clear they want everybody wants a reform party. And the Democrats don't appear to be able to be it, do they?
I'm afraid they are not evidencing that. And I guess it's just my sense of hope and desperation that keeps me from blurting out, oh, you got a GD right there, Billy.
I mean, it's really, we can really unseat these Republicans. I'll tell you, I'm thinking about running, you know, Doolittle, I was thinking about running against Issy. Will you support me?
I already have a candidate. I already have a candidate in the Doolittle race. Her name's Lisa Ray.
Oh, great. Tell us about her.
Lisa has been on our program once. We'll invite her back. She's a very interesting woman who I've known for about 15 years, and she worked as a staffer in Sacramento for Bill Lockyer, for Gary Hart, not the guy from Colorado with the monkey business, but the former state senator from Santa Barbara. She also was a lobbyist, but for the good folks, for the American Lung Association. No, actually, it was for the Heart Association, taking on the tobacco lobby in Sacramento. She is also a very interesting person who is a woman of faith. And she
is she pro-choice?
She is.
Okay, then. Because, you know, Doolittle is a real creep. He should be easy to unseat at this point. He's got the wrong friends, you know, DeLay and, you know, those kind of guys.
Huh? His wife, John Doolittle's wife, worked for Jack Abramoff as a party planner.
Exactly. He can be beat this time out.
Well,
and that's the whole thing. The Democrats really have an opportunity, but I just think that they're not the party. They're as you said, business as usual, and that's a tragedy.
Billy, the website for Lisa Ray is Ray for Congress, and her last name is spelled R-E-A.
R-E-A. Mm-hmm. R-E-A. Rhea. Ray.
Right. Yep.
Well, you know, it's not Democrat, Republican. I think it's conservative and anti-conservative, and we need to do a coalition like I mentioned the other day.
Well, I wish I could support that in a practical sense. I certainly embrace it on a philosophical level. The big problem is that the two parties have a lock on the electoral system, and this is even before we get to the voting machines and the shenanigans. But it is virtually impossible to launch an effective third-party challenge, at least at the federal level. I think it has to start with the House of Representatives, but when you get to the Senate and the presidential races, the doors are locked, realistically, to third-party candidates.
In a democracy, there aren't locked doors. And incumbents don't get to vote themselves in like the party of God.
Well, then I guess what you're telling me is we don't have a democracy anymore.
Yeah, you got it. I'm done. Thanks.
Thank you, Billy. Billy's done. That leaves a line open for you, and we'll take more of your calls after a quick break. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. 888-579-2540, toll free. You can email me, Peter, at krxa540.com. We'll continue in a moment in the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
B. This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest. My prices are affordable and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 546 now. And once again, Amy Knight.
Well, we have a new accident in Monterey southbound. Actually, Fremont Street at Ramona Avenue. It's an injury accident on the shoulder. Multiple cars involved. Crews are on scene, but traffic heavily backed up in the area. But I was referring to southbound 1 at Del Monte. An earlier recliner that was in the left lane in Marina has now been cleared from the lanes. Also in Morgan Hill, an injury accident East Main at Elm Road. A car and a truck off to the shoulder there. No new problems to report on 101 through Gilroy, Aromas, and Prunedale. And actually, traffic moving well on Highway 68 between Monterey and Salinas. Command powerful machines to do your bidding. Earn your BS in computer science at National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NAT-UNIV. Happy Valentine's Day. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for letting me share the ride home with you, but could you just slow down a little bit? I mean, my God. All right, Sammy. He's a conservative nut, Sammy Hagar. It's the only way he gets on the program. For suggesting we should all break the speed limits. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. I'd like to recommend a piece to you that is available today at truthout.org. And if you are a subscriber to Tom Dispatch, you may have received it in your email already. It's written by Tom Engelhart, who blogs daily at Tom Dispatch. It's an extension of The Nation magazine, The Nation Institute, and he does a lot of good work. And I would like to direct you to this column today. We've invited him on the program and hope he'll join us sometime in the next few days to talk about this. But one of the issues that we've discussed related to Iraq is the United States' intention to build permanent military bases in Iraq, because we've been bounced out of Saudi Arabia, and there are other countries where Islamic law and culture make it very difficult for us to plant our military might. And so the Qataris are getting a little tired of us. And those of us who are critics of this war have firmly believed that one of the intents, along with getting the Iraqi oil is to build permanent bases. And in this lengthy commentary piece at Tom Dispatch today, Engelhardt describes two of these bases. One is the Balad Air Base, the largest American base in the country. It's 68 clicks north of Baghdad, and it is huge. It even has a section called KBR Land. That's in honor of the Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root, that's been doing all of that sweetheart no-bid contracting. I forgot price gouging, sorry. And a British reporter gave information that Engelhardt publishes about the Al-Asad airbase, and this one is in western Anbar province. This stretch of desert increasingly resembles a slice of U.S. suburbia. And the article says there are at least four of these super bases in Iraq. And I've heard a number as high as 14, not necessarily super, not all 14 being super bases, but all 14 being intended as permanent American military installations in the 51st state of occupied Iraq. I think it's important, so if you have a chance, log on to truthout.org or sign up for Tom Dispatch. Tom Engelhardt does a good job. Back to your calls now, and we have Michelle in Cyprus. Thanks for holding, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Well, I'm glad it's the last hour, so I can just take you off in left field and kind of talk to you about a rant that I was going on about last night. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she's interested in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And they had skating on last night. And what is it, NBC that's covering it?
Yes, it
right?
is. Mm-hmm. Bob Costas and the gang.
Bob Costas. Is that the guy's name? What a frigging idiot. Oh, my God. You know, it's like I'm telling the TV to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's laughing at me. The narration, all they could do was criticize, especially the Russians. You know, criticize them and tell and say how they were intimidated because of the fall. But it just, the reason why it aggravates me is, Peter, I don't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I only did this for my daughter. And it is truly befumbling how people can watch the media on our televisions nowadays and believe it. The lies, what I've been hearing from all your callers with, you know, how they've handled Cheney. I sent Matt a document. It's referring to, and hopefully you'll get to read it over, it was released via the an FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act,
mm-hmm.
and it's Pentagon's plan to take away our freedoms on the Internet so they can feed us the propaganda through the Internet. And it's just an amazing little document you'll have to get from Matt, your producer. And
no, I got a copy. It's in my email, and I'll read it tonight. I am aware of the issues, and we've invited a gentleman from the Electronic Frontier Foundation to come on the program to talk about this. I want to just go back. I want to go back to what you were saying about the Olympics, because I am not a big sports fan. I use that space in my brain for politics and
mm-hmm.
news and issues. But I do like the Olympics, and it's always frustrating to watch. NBC's had the franchise since, what, 1980 or so?
Yeah.
And they really give nationalism a bad name. They cover it with this cheerleader aspect where only the Americans count. And
exactly.
They, you know, one of the things that people need to understand, because of the major time shift between Italy and the United States, they have a lot of time to post-produce the segments that we see in the evening.
Right.
And what that means is that they add the voice tracks, the announcer parts, the play-by-play, after the events have already taken place, and they know who has won. And so they shape the coverage not in the way that you watch an ordinary sporting event where you don't know the outcome and, you know, you watch everything hoping to pick up clues about who's going to pull ahead and who's going to win, that sort of thing. Well, they dispense with all that, and they manage the narrative. And you can really feel it if you pay even close attention or you use another source like a newspaper or, in some cases, people have satellite TV and watch foreign networks' coverage of the Olympics.
Right.
But in any case, it's not too hard for a critical viewer to pick up the cheerleader pro-American tone of the NBC coverage. And it permeates everything, and it's just disgusting.
And it just runs it. It really does. I mean, for these people, all of them, you know, they have struggled to get there and surpass things that I could never even think about doing.
And I'm happy for the American women who won gold and silver in the half pipe, the snowboarding competition. But at the same time, I feel like they're pandering to younger viewers by featuring snowboarding as a major event. I think it fits in with all the other events, but it's been pumped up in its profile in the coverage, and that's clearly a ratings gambit to try to reach the viewers who are expecting to see Earl.
Well, I'm so glad you can sympathize with what I was doing at screaming at the TV last night, and I want to wish you and Matt happy Valentine's, and thank you so much for your voice.
Thanks, Michelle. Always good to hear from you.
Let's jump to
Tim in Eureka. Hello, Tim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello. I was wondering, is there a progressive alternative to Hillary Clinton that could run for president?
Well, so far, we don't have anybody who's clearly emerged. My personal choice would be Senator Russ Feingold from Wisconsin.
What's his take? I mean, has he made any comments or any movements whatsoever?
Yes. He's exploring it. And I think that ultimately he will surface as a candidate.
Is there anything we can do to help him along?
Well, there's a website that we featured in an interview yesterday called actblue.com. And if you go there, it will provide a link to every Democrat who's running for the House or the Senate in the coming cycle. I don't know when Feingold is up for re-election to the Senate. But you also might just surf the web and look for more information about him. He's been a leader on many issues. The only thing I can ding him for was he did vote for John Roberts as Chief Justice. He was very courageous in opposing Sam Alito. And he's in my scorecard, he's right on the issues about 90% of the time. So he would be the person I would point you to, Tim. Thanks a lot for your call. Ed in Aptos, welcome to the program. Nice to talk to you today. How's it going?
Good to talk to you. Always good to hear Billy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going back to politics now, and that I think you're new to the area, and forgive me, Eureka listeners, for us talking about Monterey and 27th Assembly District politics. But when Leon Panetta vacated his office, Sam Farr took it, and then Sam Farr's Assembly District seat was vacated by his taking the congressional seat.
Right.
And then we had a runoff between Gary Patton and John Laird, which was a nasty battle. And Gary had been a 20-year Board of Supervisor in Santa Cruz County. He had a lot of baggage. He lost to McPherson, and that gave McPherson a toehold, which he did his time in the Assembly and then moved on to the Senate district. Or Senate seat, I think it was Senate district. Anyhow,
you're right. Mm-hmm.
He gave his toehold, and then the powers that be ran Rusty Arias in that Senate district, and they were the kind of that was party politics there, the higher ups.
Yeah, he was from Los Banos.
Yeah, and he was kind of technically was in the area, but didn't represent a major metropolitan area within the district.
Understand. 30 seconds, Ed. Go ahead.
Well, anyhow, I think that the basic thing is people have to work within the party because, going off and trying to get something else going right now, I think, is counterproductive. We got to, got to get back in and get our feet on the ground before we can start to...
Yeah, but I understand your point, but in order to win our support, the party has to listen and has to embrace progressives and give us some some hope that it's an open process and that voters will be permitted to decide, not kingmakers and powerful incumbents. And that's the point that I think is important in the withdrawal of Paul Hackett in Ohio. Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you, Ed, and thanks for all your calls today. We'll be back at you 3 to 6 tomorrow right here.
Happy trails to you until...
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Birdshot is so light and the human body so dynamic, it's a worrisome combination. One pellet migrated to Harry Whittington's heart, which irritated and caused some irregularities today.
We are very, very optimistic that with Mr. Whittington's strong heart, his personality, his stamina, the will, that he will do very well, and we're prepared to deal with anything that may develop.
Dr. David Blanchard called it a silent heart attack. More on the vice president's hunting partner now, CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan.
That piece of birdshot that's lodged in the heart, they don't think it's going to migrate. They think it's going to stay exactly where it is. They plan on leaving it where it is, and they don't get a sense that there's any other birdshot anywhere around that will cause any more problems.
White House spokesman Scott McClellan's kind of tired of being peppered with questions about it.
If you want to continue to spend time on that, that's fine. But we're moving on to the priorities of the American people.
It's been a gusher for the oil companies, your wallets, stunning record profits while consumers feel real pain from high prices. And now CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says the federal government's come up with a huge gift to the oil giants.
This deal stretches back to the late 90s when the government was trying to get oil companies to drill in the Gulf. And so as an incentive was offering them relief from government royalties. Well, that was when oil was cheap. Now it's $60 a barrel. And at those prices, this means the royalty payments the oil companies don't have to pay could amount over the next 5 years to about $7 billion.
A jail guard allegedly helped the six convicts escape from the Cook County Jail. WBBM reporter Bernie Tafoya says his motive is a shocker.
If you can believe it, in Chicago, politics may have been behind the jail escape. There are reports in the Sun-Times and Tribune that a jail guard has told investigators that he came up with the escape plot to embarrass a candidate perceived to be the front-runner in the race for Cook County Sheriff and to boost the election chances of a different candidate. All six escapees are back behind bars.
Here's something to help you through those midwinter blues. The sounds of baseball. Those sounds are coming soon. The World Baseball Classic is next month.
I've got a bunch of young kids that are going to be ready to go, and we're excited about it. I'm excited about playing with some of these guys that I've not had a chance to work with.
That's Hall of Fame.